Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for joining me today. This is Dr. Ruth. We get straight into my Bible study into the ministry of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are in the Gospel of Luke. Thank you for joining me today. Hopefully you've listened to previous sessions, and today we are moving right along. We are in Luke chapter 5 still. The previous session was Luke 5a. I recommend you listen to that because I discussed key attributes of discipleship, and we got into the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will continue in this chapter, Luke 5. We will pick it up today in verse 17. And in verse 17 here, out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, the gist is that the Lord Jesus would continue to exert power and authority over diseases. And in these upcoming verses, he will also display his deity as God, as he would forgive sins. Glory to God. So we pick it up here in Luke 5, verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. Now, let me pause. Hopefully, you've been listening to me for some time. So at this point in the Lord Jesus' ministry, he was drawing huge crowds of people because his teaching had authority. I discussed all this in the previous session. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law were jealous. They were curious, so they were there to listen. And if you're not aware, who were the Pharisees? Back then in the ancient nation of Israel, there were several, I believe like 5 to 6 different sects, or you would call them religious groups, in existence at that time. And the Pharisees were supposed to be very highly educated, sophisticated Jews who were supposed to uphold and enforce the law of Moses. They were so educated, and they believed in the entire Old Testament as God-inspired word, except they had added so many do's and don'ts. They had made the law of Moses almost impossible to keep, and they themselves were not keeping the law. And then there was another group called the Sadducees. These Sadducees were also religious leaders. They only believed in the first 5 books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy. The other books in the Old Testament, they did not consider as inspired books from God. And as a result, the Sadducees did not believe in angels. They did not believe in the resurrection, whereas the Pharisees believed in angels and the resurrection. And then another group back then were the Zealots, who were more of a political movement, or the Zealot was more like a political movement, and they were looking forward to a militant Messiah. And then other groups existed, such as the Essenes and the Herodians, etc. So these were various sects or groups back then who all claimed to uphold the law of Moses one way or the other. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees gave the Lord Jesus the most difficult time, because these were highly religious people who were hypocrites. They read the law of Moses, they displayed their religiosity in front of people, but their hearts were not pure. They didn't have any love of God in them. Okay, so now these Pharisees and teachers of the law of Moses had heard about the Lord Jesus's ministry. He was teaching with authority. People loved Jesus, so they were curious, and they are going to challenge Jesus. And as we proceed, I want to just say, this is coming to heart right now, God is after the heart. As much as these Pharisees were highly educated, they didn't love God in their heart. Likewise, God is not impressed with our education, if our hearts are not open to him. Does God want us to be educated? Yes, absolutely, yes. God is for education, but God does not want our education or titles to come before him. God is looking at the heart of man. Even some of us who are called into a leadership position like Bible teachers, and I'm highly educated, but at the end of the day, my relationship with God is what matters, okay? God is looking at my heart and how I relate to him and how I teach his word with honesty and purity of heart. Likewise, you can have a PhD or a master's degree in ministry theology like I do. I have a master's degree in ministry and theology studies, but that is not what makes me be a teacher. I'm a teacher because I'm called, and obviously I went to school to be prepared, and there is an anointing in my life, and I have an awesome, vibrant relationship with God, and I have experienced the presence and the manifestation of God in my life. So I teach with honesty because I love God. I want to see you change. So don't allow your titles to deceive you. God is not impressed by that. God is looking at the heart, okay? As we will find out, the Lord Jesus always exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees throughout his ministry. He called them hypocrites. He pronounced the 7 woes unto them. Likewise, today, God is very displeased with religious leaders or other types of leaders who manipulate people, who don't have a pure, genuine relationship with him, God, yet they want to impose onto others, okay? So don't be a Pharisee. Be genuine. Be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, I better move on. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were there watching Jesus, obviously. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. As I said, they had come from all over to observe the Lord Jesus, to accuse him. Mm-hmm. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. So the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the Father was present to heal the sick. I had mentioned in the previous session, hopefully you have listened, how Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit before he began his ministry. Likewise, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to embolden us before we preach Christ to others or before we can live the Christian life, because a Christian life is a supernatural life that God the Holy Spirit live in and through us. So the Lord Jesus now was there and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Lord was there to heal. Verse 18, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. This is awesome. This paralyzed man, his friends loved him so much. They wanted this paralyzed man to receive healing from the Lord. Apparently, the house was crowded. People were packed listening to Jesus, and these friends were so desperate. Let's find out what they will do next. Verse 19, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the ground, right in front of Jesus. This is amazing action of faith. A couple of things are going on here. Number one, we see friends who loved this guy. They brought this paralyzed man into Jesus, and they took a bold step of faith. They brought this paralyzed man through a hole in the roof to have this encounter with Jesus Christ. Friend, let me speak to you. Do you love your friends enough to bring them to Jesus Christ? Do you love your family members, your neighbors, your co-workers enough to share Christ with them by faith? This is what we are learning. This is the key application out of this verse here. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should love people enough to share Christ with them, because at the end of the day, if they don't know Christ, they're going to go to hell. And if we claim we love them, we don't share Christ with them, We don't love them, actually, okay? So share Christ with your friends and your neighbor boldly and trust the Holy Spirit to do the rest. So these friends have taken this bold step of faith. Let's find out how the Lord would respond. Verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Awesome. This is amazing. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus just expressed his deity as God, because only God can forgive sins. But you see, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. So let us find out how the Pharisees would respond. And before I even get into the Pharisees' response, friend, Jesus Christ is still willing to forgive your sins today. Verse 21, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So true, the Pharisees were right. Only God can forgive sins. But they failed to acknowledge and to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And it had been prophesied throughout the Old Testament that the Messiah would come and display the power and authority of God. The Messiah would be 100% God and 100% man, and that the Messiah would forgive sins. A couple of Old Testament scripture or prophecies are coming to mind here. Micah 7:18 and Zechariah 13:1-2. Again, Micah 7:18 and Zechariah 13:1-2. And the interesting thing is that these Pharisees were supposed to be the ones who were to teach the law of Moses. They were supposed to know the Old Testament scriptures, which had prophesied that the Messiah would forgive sins, the Messiah would perform all these miracles, and that the forgiveness of sins and the healings would be signs of the presence of the Messiah. But they ignored all that. They rejected Jesus Christ. So let's find out how the Lord Jesus would respond to the Pharisees' comments. We are now in verse 22. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked. Now, the Lord Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, would pull from the gifts of the Holy Spirit, specifically here the gifts of discernment, to discern their thoughts, and would ask them a question. I'm sure the Pharisees were like, how did he know what we are thinking? But the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit and was able to discern their hearts. So here is the Lord Jesus' response. Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Verse 23, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Verse 24, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus, calling himself the Son of Man, which is one of the messianic title, which could have cued the Pharisees that he is the Messiah. They still missed it. Oh my goodness. Jesus told them that the Son of Man has authority to on earth to forgive sins, which was true, which is true, which had been prophesied. So the Lord Jesus said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Now, what the Lord Jesus is about to do here, as I mentioned earlier, he is exerting his authority as God and as man. And he is about to back up his words as God with a physical action, giving this paralyzed man instruction to act in faith so that healing would be manifested in the eyes or in front of all of them. Let us proceed to find out what happened next. We are now in verse 25. So the Lord Jesus had already said that he had authority to forgive sins. He had given instructions to the paralyzed man to get up. And we are now in verse 25. Immediately, he stood up. This is a paralyzed man now. He stood up in front of them, meaning in front of everybody, the Pharisees and the entire crowd, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Let me pause. There is a lot happening here. This paralyzed man listened to Jesus' instructions. He obeyed. How? He got up, took up his mat, and walked away. This is true Bible faith. So much is happening here. Let me break this down for you. Number one, we see true Bible faith in operation. Firstly, the Lord Jesus exerting his power and authority as God forgave this man's sins in the presence of everyone, telling them that I am the Messiah. Go back and read the Old Testament prophecies. And then he backed that up with action. He told this man to get up, and this man in faith, obeying, got up and walked. And as he got up, he received that healing manifested. Friend, what is the principle and application here? We see true Bible faith in operation. What is Bible faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now, faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. We are learning how these friends of the paralyzed man or the friends of the paralyzed man had faith. They believed that the Lord Jesus would heal their friend. And in faith, they brought him and they went through the hole and dropped the man in a mat in front of Jesus Christ. And now it was up to that paralyzed man to act in faith because his friends had done it. It was now up to him. It just goes to show you, people can only do so much for you. A time has to come when you have to take that step of faith yourself and receive whatever you are believing God for. Number one, by opening your heart, and number two, by acting in faith. So we see how the friends have taken a step of faith. This paralyzed man was here. The Lord Jesus spoke to this paralyzed man directly. Get up and walk. That man obeyed. Friend, true Bible faith is number one, believing in your heart. Like this paralyzed man's friends believed, and as this paralyzed man himself believed, because he acted on that belief. He got up, and as he was getting up, the manifestation was evident. Friend, you can believe God all you want. That's step one. You have to act on that belief to see evidence. The Bible teaches clearly, faith without corresponding action is what? Dead, useless. Out of the book of James. We are seeing that right now, right here. So true Bible faith is when you believe in God's promises. You believe in God's promises in your heart, substance of things hoped for, and as you believe, your hope is dead, okay, and then you act, then the manifestation will come. And at times, there's a process that you have to wait for the manifestation, but the manifestation, you don't have to worry about that. Your job is to believe and then to act accordingly. So if you are believing God for healing today, friend, and you're sitting there in bed and confessing scriptures and renewing your mind, these are all good beginning of faith. Now, you need to act as somebody who is healed and well, because you are healed in the spirit. Because by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So get out of bed if you can. Do the best you can. Get out of bed and attempt to act as somebody who is well, because you are well. And as you take that step of faith to act as somebody who is well, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you would have strength and energy to act well. The worst thing you can do is to lay in bed all day and play sick. That is not faith. Faith is acting as somebody who is well and trusting the Holy Spirit to do the rest. I hope you receive this. Okay, and there is so much I could teach on faith, but I want for you to get my book, which talks about 14 laws that govern true Bible faith. This book is simply titled Faith to Receive God's Promises, How to Walk in Biblical Faith and Allow the Blessings of God to Chase You. This is a book I wrote during when I was fighting cancer, and the Lord taught me some basic and powerful laws that govern faith right from the Bible. And boy, this has to do with the faith of love. Having a revelation of the love of God will stir and strengthen your faith. Having a revelation of the faithfulness would stay and strengthen your faith. This book is awesome. I recommend you get this, Faith to Receive God's Promises. We will attach a link in the description box. If you live in the continental USA, please get this book from us. It comes to us as a donation of $20. We will ship this book to you today. So please visit drruthtanya.org/donate, or just visit our safe and secure website, Dr. Ruth Tanya. Go into the bookstore and get this book. It's only $20, shipping and handling included. We are also on Cash App. The name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanya. And in the USA, we accept donations through Zelle. And the telephone Zelle number is 909-501-9031. And we will include this in the description box so you can just click and check it out in our bookstore. I recommend that you get it because I can't get into more teaching on faith. Okay, so now this man had obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ and acted in faith, and the healing was evident, and the crowd was amazed, praising God. We pick it up here in verse 26. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Awesome. When people receive healing, God is praised. When people receive manifestation of the blessings and promises of God, God is praised and worshiped and glorified. Healing, receiving healing is a good thing. God wants you to receive your healing. Okay. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Exactly. You know, I had to just say that because there are people who are teaching that healing is not of God, healing is of the devil. Lies. Healing is of God. Whatever is good is from God. Whatever is bad is from the devil. Healing is a good thing, and by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed physically, spiritually, mentally. So God wants us to receive healing today because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I also have my testimonial book, Healed by the Stripes of Jesus. I recommend that you also get that. We will add that also in the description box so you can get that. So we come to verse 27. The next upcoming verses will talk about the Lord Jesus calling Levi, aka Matthew, aka meaning also known as Matthew the tax collector. Hopefully you've listened to the previous session whereby I discussed how the Lord Jesus called the Apostle Peter, James, and John. So he already had them as disciples at this time, and we will learn how he would call Levi. So verse 27, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. I just love it how Levi was just doing his day-to-day mundane tax, and he had this encounter with God. Just like God would manifest himself to us in our day-to-day mundane task, oh friend, which is why it's so necessary that we are chronically God conscious, because God will reveal things to us when we're taking a shower, when we are driving, when we are at work. God is always speaking, but are you always listening? If you open your heart to listen to God, you will hear from God at all times, not just on Sundays. Hello. Okay, now let's see. Jesus said to him, so the Lord Jesus had seen him, meaning Levi, at his tax collector booth collecting his taxes. Tax collectors back then were considered the chief sinners because they were thieves and they duped people. They taxed people above and beyond the recommendation, and they pocketed some of the money. So the Jews hated tax collectors, which for the most part worked for the Roman emperor, and they taxed their own people, the Jews, and taxed them extra. So the Jews did not like them. So Levi here was not liked by his fellow Jews because he was a tax collector working for the Roman empire against his own people, the Jews. Wow. And yet Jesus would reach out to him. Friend, are you a sinner today? Are you hated by everybody? Jesus is reaching out to you. God loves you. Okay, so let's find out how the Lord Jesus would invite Levi. Jesus said to him, verse 28, follow me. And Levi got up, left everything and followed Jesus. That was it. Follow me. Wow. It just goes to show you that Levi's heart was so open. He was just tired of being hated. Jesus said, follow me. And he just abandoned everything. This is so significant. And I discussed this in the book of Matthew, how Levi was extremely wealthy back then. In fact, he had wealth above and beyond all of the other disciples. Of course, Judas also came from a, well, I don't know, middle-class family back then. That is what Bible scholars are telling us, that Levi, i.e. Matthew, and Judas were the wealthiest among the disciples. But the principle here is that Levi, a.k.a. Matthew, abandoned his wealth to follow Jesus Christ. Friend, money, physical possession will never, please listen to me now, will never give you the joy and the true peace that each human being desires. Let's get this straight. And number two, when we give so much like Levi did here to follow Jesus Christ and to work for him, God will be certain 100% to make sure we receive abundantly, exceedingly in this present life and obviously in eternity. So we really never give up anything to follow God, because God is our creator anyway. We just stop doing what doesn't bring true joy, peace, and happiness, and we pursue what he has ordain us to do, and in that we will have more blessings, more joy, more peace. So Levi had all the physical wealth, but he got into a ministry with Jesus Christ, obeying, accepting that call, follow Jesus Christ, and he would end up being more richer, more joyful, more happier, impacting more lives even today, 2,000 years later. He wrote the entire Gospel of Matthew that continues to bring joy and peace and revelation to millions of people. Friend, no matter how much money you have, never be afraid to give it up or give anything up for God if God is calling you to do so. Because he is fair. God is just. He will make sure you receive abundantly in this life, okay? So Levi followed Jesus. That was the best decision. Then, verse 29, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Here again, we are learning the Lord Jesus's, one of his reasons for having this relationship with Levi, or for calling Levi. That way, Levi would be the bridge between him, God, and the sinners and the tax collectors. So now Levi accepted this calling to follow Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ would then take advantage of that to meet other tax collectors. This is so, God, man, God is, wow, so wise. Obviously, God is the source of wisdom. Had Levi denied that calling, of course, God would have found another way to meet the tax collectors and the sinners. But because Levi accepted that call from God, that just opened the door for the Lord Jesus to minister to more tax collectors and to more sinners. Glory to God, friend. Wherever you are right now, if you are the only Christian, it could be that God left you in that job, in that position, in that neighborhood for a reason, so you could be the light and the salt, so you could bring hope and joy to the sinners. Oh boy, this is so critical. I have heard so many Christians say, well, I am the only Christian in this job. Well, maybe God wants you to be there to minister to the other sinners. And you don't have to take time off your employer's job to preach the gospel. Just live the lifestyle in front of them. Just handle crises with the power of God. They will come to you and see that you are different. So friend, we have no excuse to say, oh, I'm the only Christian in this neighborhood. Oh, I'm the only Christian at this job. Oh, I'm the only Christian at this gym. Take advantage of that and reach to people and minister Christ to them. If you have the opportunity, share the gospel. Otherwise, live the lifestyle. Oh, come on. I hope you receive this, okay? God is so good. So now the Lord Jesus had said, follow me. Levi had accepted his ministering to sinners. And I just love it. Follow me. This is so interesting. As we are studying the ministry of Jesus Christ, we're going to learn how Jesus Christ didn't ask people, accept me. He said, follow me. So important. And what is the difference? Say, follow me, because Jesus Christ has to be the guide. He has to be the leader. He goes in front of us and then we follow him. Okay, so today we tell people to accept Jesus Christ, which is fine. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you follow him. And then as you're following him, you become a true disciple, because through the process of following Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will begin to do the work of sanctification to change us into the image of Christ. And we will be becoming a true disciple of Jesus Christ. That becoming is a process. Okay? Okay. So, verse 30. Now the Pharisees are seeing that Jesus Christ was eating with sinners. They are going to question now. Verse 30. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belong to their sect, I had already explained the sect or religious groups, complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? You see, earlier at the opening of this session, I talked about the Pharisees. They were all after outward display of their religiosity. They didn't love God. They didn't care for people. Right here, they themselves are saying it. They were mad at Jesus for mingling with sinners. Oh my goodness, let's find out how the Lord would respond. Verse 31, Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I love it. This is so, it's like a proverb, it's like an irony. You know why the Lord Jesus made this comment? Because the Pharisees give the impression, or they gave the impression, that they were so spiritually healthy. They were holier than thou. So the Lord Jesus is like, oh, well, I didn't come for you then, because you know it all and you have it all. You're healthy spiritually. That was an irony. They were sick spiritually. They were dead spiritually. They were blind guards spiritually. So the Lord Jesus said this to them as an irony. Let me just reread that. It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. Verse 32. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Exactly what I was saying. The Lord Jesus told the Pharisees, I didn't come for you because you claim that you are already righteous. I came for the sinners. I came to bring light and truth to the sinners, those who have recognized their spiritual blindness, those who have recognized their spiritual depravity, those who have recognized that they need me, the Messiah. I have come for them. Not for you who claim to be holy, but yet you are blind. Glory to God. I just like this. And friend, I want to end this session here because we've covered a lot. And the key principle and application in this chapter, the first principle here is the obvious one. The Lord Jesus exerted his deity as God. Jesus Christ is God 100% and man 100%. And he displayed that by the forgiveness of sins. And number two, I talked about true Bible faith. True Bible faith has to do with you believing in God's promises and then acting in obedience to receive the manifestation that you desire in your heart. And God will always honor true Bible faith. Okay? And the last one is Jesus Christ is still forgiving sins today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Friend, I want to just talk to you. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you are self-righteous, if you think you don't need God, you do. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus Christ came and he died for your personal sins. The Bible teaches us out of Acts 4:12 that there is only one name given unto mankind by which salvation must come, the man Jesus Christ, because he was God 100% and man 100%. He is the only human being who experiences supernatural conception by God the Holy Spirit, which meant he bypassed that sinful seed, that sinful nature. He did not inherit any sin at his supernatural conception by God the Holy Spirit, and he was born by a woman, Mary. He never inherited any sin from Mary either. He was God 100% in the flesh, and as we just went over, we saw how he displayed his deity as God, forgiveness of sins. He died for your personal sins. 1 John 2:2, he died for the sins of the entire world. But the Bible says, if you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and you confess with your mouth that he was God and man, and he died, and on the third day he was raised from the dead, if you believe and you confess that, you shall be saved, out of Romans 10:9. It's as simple as that. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you don't know if you've ever done this, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. So just repeat after me, as you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. This is Jesus Christ himself saying this out of John 14:6, that no one can come to God the Father except through him. He is the only one who claimed to be God, and he backed it up 100% with eyewitness, verifiable evidence. We just went through one here. He told the paralyzed man his sins had been forgiven and healed him. So if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, just repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my personal sins. Today, I believe in my heart in Jesus Christ as my God, my Savior. And I am inviting you, Jesus Christ, to come into my heart and change me. I believe in my heart you died for me, and on the third day you were raised from the dead. You are alive. By faith, I believe you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you said that genuinely based on the authority of God's infallible words, I declare you a follower of Jesus Christ. Welcome into God's kingdom. Glory to God. I'm so glad you've made a confession of faith to stand and believe and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You've accepted him. Now follow him, okay? Follow him, follow his leadership. Make all your decisions through the lens of scripture. Get into a Bible believing church and start studying your Bible, and follow me in this podcast and grow in your relationship and revelation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And please contact me so we can send you a free book to help you grow in this relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to remind you, friend, to visit our website and get the book, Faith to Receive God's Promises. Okay, and I also want to remind you to get my healing testimonial book, Healed by the Stripes of Jesus, how I received healing from metastasis colon cancer over 15 years ago. You can get this book also on Amazon if you live overseas, but if you live in the continental USA, please get it from us for a donation of $33. And the Faith to Receive God's Promises is a donation of $20. We just ask you to please do this, because when you get these books or other material from the ministry, it comes to us as a donation, so we can put the money back into this podcast and pay for studio time. So again, here is how you can make your donation. Visit our safe and secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, the book on faith is $20. The healing book is $33. We are also on Cash App. The address is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or you can use your cell phone to Zelle the donation to us. That number is 909 501-501-901-931. And we will attach all this in the description box. So I thank you today for being with me. I trust God you have been blessed by today's lessons and you've received revelations and a few things you can apply into your life. I trust God that these things are happening because the word of God never returns void. So let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. I thank you for all those who've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior for the first time. And for all the listeners, I thank you've stirred them. I thank you that you've emboldened them to act in faith and just to trust you with whichever promise they are trusting you for. You stir them, God, the Holy Spirit, to take that corresponding action of faith because you are ready to just manifest your blessings upon their lives. I just thank you for giving them personal revelations from today's teachings. I thank you for being such a good God, for your presence filled their hearts. Your protection is on them today. We thank you for your love and for your goodness. I have prayed all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all those who receive this prayer say, Amen. God loves you.
Before we go, I want to remind you to visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. And check out our event page and sign up for one or all of our upcoming events. While there, remember to subscribe to Dr. Ruth's monthly Bible teaching e-newsletters so you can start receiving more life-changing teachings. If Dr. Ruth's teachings are a blessing to you, we would like to know that. So would you please send us an email and let us know? Here is our email address, info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. You can also find Dr. Ruth's simple and practical teachings on YouTube. Just search for Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and watch Dr. Ruth's Bible teaching videos at your convenience 24/7. Remember to click the notification bell on YouTube after you subscribe. That way, you will receive alerts when we upload more Bible teachings. I am Chris Horam, and may God's abundant blessings chase you today. In Jesus' name, amen.